Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends, if you go down to the grocery store and go through the checkout, you'll find a TV guide or something to that effect. Do you ever notice the popular programs that are being watched, past and present? They're like crime dramas. Shows like Law & Order, CSI, and yes, Criminal Minds have a huge following. You come to the Bloom House, there's often a tug of war over the remote control. My wife likes watching Criminal Minds, and I like watching American Pickers. And I tell her, all Criminal Minds are the same. Somebody dies, there's this big investigation, and at the end, they find the killer. Doesn't that seem... It seems like a passive game of Clue. And it's never Colonel Mustard, it's never with the candlestick, and it's never in the conservatory. But they take small itty-bitty facts and they build a case. Fingerprints, bone fragments, bullet fragments, shoe prints. And ultimately they catch their bad guy. Now this morning in the Old Testament lesson, we find the prophet Ezekiel in the middle of a valley that appears to be one enormous crime scene. There's bones everywhere. But these bones did not originate there. These bones had been created by God, in flesh by God, and lived on earth under God's care. But no longer, they are dead. Most certainly dead and dry. And the valley is full of bones, bones everywhere. And Ezekiel walks through the crime scene looking, and he notices that they're dry, they're very dry. This is not a recent phenomenon. These bones have been here for a while. But he didn't have to collect samples and send them off to CSI who can turn them around just like that, because God tells him who they are. He says, these are the children of Israel. These bones belong to the very people that God had brought out of Egypt by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. These are the same children of God that God had parted the Red Sea and they walked through on dry land. The same children of God that he fed with bread from heaven and water from a rock and ushered them into a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, but now these people are dead, lifeless, broken, and dried up. It's been quite a while ago, but I shared an illustration of a pastor in a church much like ours who had a sound system. But he was going from mics like this to a lapel mic, and he was sitting there fiddling one day trying to figure out how to turn it on through robes, and that's a trick, by the way. And so finally he says, there's something wrong with you. And the congregation in good Lutheran fashion said, and also with you. When Ezekiel walked in this valley full of dry bones, it's obvious that something went wrong. Something went terribly wrong. Now, Ezekiel had prophesied to the children of Israel and kind of the high in a difficult time within the nation of Israel. God had blessed them for so long, they'd become very complacent with their relationship with their Heavenly Father. God had said, do not worship the gods of the nations around you. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. It's just like telling a kid, don't get into the cookie jar. The nation of Israel started whoring after all the other gods and worshiping them, building Asherah poles and praying on the high places to gods like Baal, made of stone, wood, or whatever. God tolerated a lot for a long time. God was so patient. And Scripture uses the word long-suffering. Long-suffering means God was patient. Until finally God's patience ran out and he told Ezekiel, you prophesied to the nation of Israel these words. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, to the ravines and the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you and I will destroy your high places. Your altar shall become desolate and your incense altar shall be broken and I shall cast down your slain before your idols. And I will lay the dead bodies of the people of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter their bones around your altars. In 70 AD, God did exactly that. The nation of Babylon come roaring down through the promised land and took many of the Israelites into captivity. Now this text is kind of written 10 years after that. And now the Israelites have been in captivity in Babylon for 10 long years. They were away from the synagogue. They're away from God's grace and mercy right there before them. And now they're foreigners in a foreign land. And their cry was, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. You kind of get the picture? They felt utterly helpless. They were like dry bones lying in the valley, scattered about. Dead and lifeless. Now, I don't have to try real hard to connect you with this biblical text, because that's the role of a pastor. To connect the words of the prophet Ezekiel to you today. How does the valley of dry bones connect to you? Well, let me ask you. Raise your hand if you have never experienced the death of a loved one. Okay? Raise your hands if you've never experienced a broken relationship. Raise your hand if you've never felt dried up emotionally, physically, or spiritually at some point in your life. Raise your hand if you've never felt abandoned. If you've never had to witness the devastating effects of cancer upon your body or that of a loved one. Raise your hand this morning if you've never felt utterly alone and forsaken as you make your way through this valley, this shadow of death that we call home. See, a few of you are pretty brave this morning. Yeah, Pastor, I think you're talking to me. I've never experienced that. But haven't we all, one way, shape, or form, experienced death and lifelessness and brokenness of the world in which we live in? Haven't we experienced the dryness of it all? Haven't we just been just like the Israelites of old? Our bones are dried up. We have lost all hope. We are clean cut off. Well, if I haven't touched you yet, I'm gonna try harder. How many of you have ever languished under or lamented under the crushing effects of sin in your life? The crushing effects of living in a sinful and fallen world. How many of you know the painful reality of the statement, I believe, Lord, but help me with my unbelief? Have you ever been there in your life to say, Lord, help me with my unbelief? I trust and love in you. I'm talking about all of us. Every single one of us have been there. Not one of us lives the perfect life where we fear, love, and trust in God above all things. No, we prefer to follow our own way. See, the reality is that we do things on our own way. We're just like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. We treated God at times as if he's kind of like the last resort. You know, when I was growing up, my grandma had a lot of stuff. She wasn't a wealthy woman, but she had a lot of stuff in her little apartment. My brothers, we pooled our money and got our little plaque that said, when all else fails, ask grandma. Isn't that how we treat God at times? You know, we schedule God into our lives at times and we try to do these things and them things, but in reality, when something goes wrong in our lives, we want to fix it. We want to make it right. And if all else fails, we'll just have to pray. We claim faithfulness, but prefer doing things our own way. And the reality is, we claim to follow God's way, but too often we're going our own way, just like the Israelites of old. See, they always thought it was a greener pasture somewhere else. Yeah, this God has fed us with bread from heaven and water from the rock. He parted the Red Sea. We saw all these things or heard the stories about them, but yet Baal's better. Or at the Asherah pole, we're going to worship that because that's better. Dear friends, it never turns out good. You get to where the Israelites were, that our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. Hopeless. Think about this for a minute. The lives that you and I live, we live out in a dark and sinful world. And there's times we look around and we begin to wonder, maybe God has forsaken us. Maybe that's why I suffer, because God has forsaken me. Or at least momentarily lost track of me on the GPS, because he's nowhere to be found. When I'm going to the hard spots, he's not around. Is God mad at me? Is God punishing me? Life isn't going well, so obviously God is somehow mad at me. Just look around. And you begin to wonder if God is gracious and good at all. Sin seems to be winning at every corner. And Jesus said the words, "It is finished." Really? Pastor, it just doesn't feel like it. I feel like I am completely cut off. Well, after seeing this huge crime scene, God asked his prophet Ezekiel the question, "Can these bones live?" How would you answer? No. Dude, they're dead. Most certainly dead. There is no life in them. But Ezekiel says the words, "Lord, you know." Wow, what wisdom. "You know." And then God does the most profound thing I've ever heard in my life. He looks at the prophet Ezekiel and says, "Well, do your job. Preach the word. Just preach to him, brother." And God says, "I will cause breath to enter them and they shall live, and I will lay sinew upon them and will cause flesh to come upon them and cover them with skin and put breath in them, and they shall live and they shall know that I am the Lord. I'm going to make what is dead alive. And I'm going to do it not by some magic act or some proof of power. I'm just going to have you preach with the most simplest of things, words. And those words are going to bring life to them." You heard that word of God today. You walked in here, well, at least you're enfleshed. You're not just dry bones outright. You're skinned and clothed, and this is good. And you sit down, but you still carry that dryness and that feeling of being cut off. And God said, "Pastor, do your job. Say the word." "Okay." "As a call ordained servant of the word, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Simple words, but God's word that creates and sustains faith in you, that breathes life into the mess that you live, to give you hope. God's word is powerful. You realize when the scriptures began, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke and it came into being. And it says in the book of John that word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was enfleshed. Then ultimately went to the cross of Calvary, where he suffered and died, and he was placed into a tomb. See, that's what this whole Lenten season's about. It's about destination. It's about God pointing us to the way of salvation that's found in Jesus Christ, a place of hope in the midst of a world filled with death and despair, a place of security in a world that is filled with terror. Because of that word made flesh, you are a new creation. See, I got to see it this morning for myself. Life was breathed into you as the words of holy absolution were spoken. You became a new creation. But even better still, the word made flesh is given to you to eat and to drink. Just like that bread from heaven and the water from rock of millennia ago with the people of Israel, God still feeds his people today in the same way. Oh, and by the way, before you receive it, I'm going to say words. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and you know the rest. Words. And through those words, a sacrament is given. Well, during this Lenten season, we're going to contemplate this question: can these dry bones live? can these dry bones live? The answer is yes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.